In Business on Radio Kerry. Keeping you informed with business matters, home and abroad.
Good evening and you're very welcome to In Business. Amber Galway here with you until 7 o'clock this evening. I hope you're all keeping very well. We've another busy show coming up this evening. Over the next hour, we'll hear about how artificial intelligence is or could be shaping the future of the tourism industry. Cyber attacks are on the rise, particularly for small and medium-sized businesses. We'll hear from an expert soon to hear what measures businesses should be taking just to get ahead of any potential attacks. I'll also be joined a little later on by a representative from a company that aims to support businesses, and we'll hear about two very successful social enterprises in Kerry. If you want to get in touch with us between now and 7 o'clock, you can email inbusiness@radiokerry.ie. You can tweet the show, we're at inbusinessrk. You can send us a message on the Radio Kerry Facebook page, or you can also send us a text message or a WhatsApp message on 083 300 3300. Now, the third International John McCarthy Artificial Intelligence Summer School is taking place next week. To hear about the event and how artificial intelligence is shaping the future of the tourism industry, I'm joined by CEO of the RDI Hub, Liam Cronin. Liam, welcome to In Business.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Liam, the third International John McCarthy AI Summer School is taking place next week. Firstly, for anyone who maybe isn't overly familiar with it, will you just tell us about maybe John McCarthy, first of all?
Yeah, so John McCarthy is a famous Stanford professor that is kind of coined the phrase artificial intelligence. And, you know, he invented the Lisp programming language. His father was originally from Cremorne, just about 5 miles here from the RDI Hub. So when we opened the RDI Hub building in February 2020, we called the building after John McCarthy, and his family were across actually at the launch event. So as a result of that, we have a mural actually as you enter the RDI Hub building for John McCarthy. We decided to honour him. We'd run an AI summer school, and we this year is the third version of the summer school, as you said, and we run it each year on the start of September to link in with John McCarthy's birthday. 3 years ago, we did the summer school around artificial intelligence and sustainability. Last year, the thematic was around AI for wellness, and this year, the theme is around how artificial intelligence can support tourism. And it's a two-day event on the 1st and 2nd of September. On the 1st of September, it's very much around kind of core research, where we're looking, we'll have professors from 7 different countries talking about how they see artificial intelligence influencing the tourism industry. And then on the Friday, the 2nd of September, it's more applied research, where we'll have companies presenting, talking about how they're using artificial intelligence to drive the tourism industry going forward. So that's a little bit of the history of the John McCarthy AI Summer School.
Fantastic, and it's lovely that you remember him in such a lovely way. You mentioned, obviously, it's artificial intelligence for the tourism sector and, I suppose, shaping the future of the tourism industry. Tell us a bit more about that and what exactly you'll be looking into.
Yeah, so I think, you know, over the 2 days, we've 18 speakers, as I said, from 7 different countries. So, you know, we'll be doing a mixture of kind of keynotes and lectures and roundtable discussions. And, you know, some of the guys are talking a lot about how you can use, say, for example, sentiment analysis to pull out insights from tourism data. So, like, there's a lot of data being gathered about the tourists that are visiting the southwest of Ireland, the visiting Kerry. So how can we pull out kind of some trend analysis and some sentiment analysis from those visitors? I mean, other speakers are talking about how you can use technology like, you know, AR, VR, artificial intelligence to change the whole tourism experience. Like, there's a few talkers talking about, with the consequences of climate change, what impact is that going to have on tourism, and how can you use technology to support that? And I suppose one of the things that I'm really looking forward to is at the end of day two, we're going to finish up the AI Summer School with a couple of very interesting tourism tech apps that we've been developing with Kerry Tourism Federation and with Kerry County Council over the last 9 months. So we've developed an app for the Killarney National Park, and we've developed an app for the Kerry Way. So we'll be showcasing those two apps at the end of the summer school, which again is a real life example of how we're using AI and how we're using the digitalization of tourism here in Kerry.
That's fantastic. Can you tell us a small bit more about those apps and just what exactly they involve, I suppose, or how people might be able to use them?
Yeah, so one of the apps is already live in the Killarney National Park. It's called Kier's Quest. Kier'sQuest.ie is the website, and it's all about finding the hidden wildlife of the kingdom. So as you go around the Killarney National Park, we've got QR codes that you can take a photo of, and it'll basically bring up some information about the park and about the different animals and about the different wildlife that's available within the Killarney National Park. And then the other one is an AR VR app for the Kerry Way, which we hope will go live next week. So that hasn't gone live just yet, but I suppose they're real life examples of how technology and digitalization is helping tourism in Kerry right now.
That's great. And Liam, I suppose just for people who aren't overly familiar with the whole artificial intelligence, will you just explain those initials there, the VR and the AR? What do they stand for?
Yeah, so AR stands for augmented reality and VR stands for virtual reality. So this is basically, you know, just seeing things in a different way, really, you know, and using that technology to visualize different types of experiences and stuff like that. So it's all about bringing technology. So what we're trying to do, I suppose, is, you know, everyone has a wonderful experience when they come here to Kerry from a physical perspective, but now how can we make sure that they have an amazing digital tourism experience as well, and using those technologies will help to do that.
And Liam, I suppose you touched on it there, but the tourism industry is so vitally important to us here in Kerry. And I suppose shaping it then is obviously very important because we want to keep it going and keep it as strong as it possibly can be. So is this kind of the way that things are going? You mentioned, you know, we have the many, many beautiful sites throughout the county and in all corners of it that people can enjoy. But is this kind of like an added element that we're going to have to look to work on in the future?
Yeah, look, our belief, I suppose, in the RDI Hub is that tourism has changed forever post the pandemic. So I think it's important now, especially for the kind of younger generation that are coming forward, to have a really good digital experience and, you know, to be able to develop apps on your phone that you can use, and you can view different experiences within Kerry digitally and stuff like that. So that's where I suppose we've been driving quite a lot that whole digital agenda on tourism, and we've been working quite closely with other hubs around Europe, like the Smart Algarve destination in Portugal, Holtez in Normandy in France, and Malaga Tech Park in Spain, to just take some insights and look at what they've been doing around digitalizing tourism and how we can bring that back to Kerry and to the southwest of Ireland. And I suppose over the 2 days next week, there's going to be a selection of speakers from, you know, seven different countries, you know, across like Switzerland, University of the Algarve, Portugal, France. We've got a professor from Connecticut talking, and in University of Granada and Spain, and we've a couple of professors from Edinburgh, all kind of sharing their experience in terms of how they're digitizing the tourism sector.
That's great. It's great to have such expertise coming to the county to share their knowledge. It is kind of an added extra. And I suppose, like you mentioned, you know, walking around Killarney National Park is obviously beautiful, but it's just an extra element that really, I suppose, adds a sense of fun and adventure maybe for younger families if they were to go using that app. And I suppose you can't argue with that. You know, anything that makes a trip to Kerry even more exciting is always worthwhile doing.
Yeah, and I suppose like the app that we've launched with Kier's Quest, that's all about, you know, the experience before you come to Kerry. So when you download Kier's Quest, you can get information before you come on your holiday. Then, as I said, you know, during your holiday, if you're doing a walk around Killarney National Park, the app will give you more information about the park and the wildlife and the different animals that are in there. And then you'll have a post experience. Maybe when you're back at home 6 months later, the app will have more information to give you more information about coming back again to come back. So it's about keeping that connection with the tourist 24/7 throughout the year and stuff like that, kind of a pre, during and post experience.
And Liam, the event that's taking place on the 1st and the 2nd of September, that's a hybrid event, isn't it?
Yeah, so all of the events we run in the RDI Hub are hybrid now. So like there's the opportunity if people want to come into the RDI Hub here on the 1st and 2nd of September to meet the speakers and hear them talking, or else people can dial in remotely using Microsoft Teams to access the event. And, you know, we're delighted to have the different partners involved again. So like this has always been supported by Microsoft, Munster Technology University and the Adapt Research Centre in Dublin, along with Tangent and AA Ireland. But this year we've added two new partners, IT of Cork Skillsnet and the Kerry Tourism Industry Federation as well. So look, if anybody's interested, feel free to go to our website, rdihub.com, follow the RDI Hub on Twitter and LinkedIn on our social media, and please, you know, register, and even if you just want to join listen to a couple of the talks, or, you know, just join at any stage over the 2 days. It's open to everybody, you know, so we really want to engage the local tourism industry to come in and, you know, hear what's the best talks and what's happening across the globe around AI for tourism, and hopefully get inspiration, and we can go and develop other apps and develop other digital experiences here in Kerry.
And Liam, I was going to ask you that, is the event like solely open to people who are working in the tourism industry or working to promote the tourism industry, or can anyone attend, we'll say, that just has a general interest in finding out more?
Oh yeah, anyone can attend. I mean, look, we're very much open to everybody, you know. So look, the most important thing is to just register, obviously, so that we can know how things are going in terms of numbers. And, you know, once you're registered in, we'll send more details about the event. You know, anybody who has an interest in tourism technology and how we can change tourism using artificial intelligence or augmented reality or virtual reality is more than welcome to attend.
And is there a deadline then to register?
Yeah, ideally, look, the event is on next Thursday, the 1st of September. So we'd like, if possible, for people to register by Monday or Tuesday next week or whatever. So certainly register before the end of August anyway, by Wednesday, the 21st of August, would be really good, just in terms of us getting kind of details on number of people attending and getting everything set up for an amazing 2 days.
That's brilliant. And just before I let you go, Liam, will you just remind people again, just in case they missed it, how they can register?
Yeah, so if you go to the rdihub.com website, and there's a link in there to the AI Summer School, so you should be able to register there. Or if you follow the RDI Hub on social media, either on our LinkedIn page or on our Twitter feed, we're promoting the event on a daily basis. We're promoting the different speakers and the different activities that are happening over the 2 days.
That's great. It sounds really interesting, and I am dying to see what comes out of it and what you work on next and the different apps that might be coming down the line. Liam, the very best of luck with it, and thank you for joining me on the show.
Great. No, thanks for the opportunity to talk about the Jamie Hathi AI Summer School. Really appreciate it.
And that was CEO of the RDI Hub, Liam Cronin. It's time for a quick break now, but stay tuned as we've lots still to come.
If you're in business, you need to be kept informed. In Business on Radio Kerry. Every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Welcome back to In Business. Amber Galway here with you until 7 o'clock. Cyber attacks are on the rise, particularly for small and medium-sized businesses. To hear why SMEs are being targeted and what measures can be taken, I'm joined by Joseph Stevens, who's the head of engagement for the National Cybersecurity Centre. Joseph, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
So, Joseph, the National Cybersecurity Centre and the Garda National Cyber Crime Bureau have issued a warning to businesses of increased threats of ransomware. Can you just tell us a small bit about this?
Yeah, no problem at all. So I suppose I should start with what is ransomware, because maybe some of your listeners might know, but it's a type of cyber attack where hackers essentially will encrypt access to important systems and data. What they'll basically do is scramble all the data so you can't use it anymore. And obviously the most famous example of that would have been the HSE incident last year. And in addition to, you know, asking for a ransom to give you a key to unscramble your data, what they'll also do is something called double extortion. So before they do that, before they scramble the data, they will steal copies of your data and threaten to leak that online. And that could be, you know, company secrets, personal data, legal documents, and so on. So that adds an extra pressure to pay a ransom, an amount of money, usually in Bitcoin and in a cryptocurrency. So in terms of what we've done is the Guards and ourselves, the Garda National Cyber Crime Bureau and the National Cybersecurity Centre, we've jointly wrote to IBEX Small Firms Association, because ransomware, it's not new, it's been around for some time, but it was most commonly sort of aimed at larger targets, particularly from about 2018 onwards, what was called big game hunting. So they would have gone after big business, critical infrastructure operators, government agencies like the HSE, because that's where the biggest rewards were. But what we've seen in the last few weeks and months is a shift in that trend. So we're seeing more and more small businesses being hit with this. So, you know, accountancy firms, GPs, small IT companies, that type of thing. And the reasons for that, are that a lot of the bigger companies, their defenses have increased in the last while, but as well the groups due to, you know, law enforcement action, both internationally and our own Garda National Cyber Crime Bureau has disrupted their activities, meaning the groups are much more fragmented. So you have these much smaller networks who are going after smaller targets rather than these big organized crime groups that are focusing solely on big business. So that's essentially why we went out with this warning to small businesses.
And that's quite worrying, I suppose. You know, you mentioned it there that obviously the bigger firms are putting more defences in place, but small and medium-sized businesses, they're quite limited in what they can do in terms of they are a small business and they may not have a lot of resources. So it's quite worrying to hear that.
It is. But, you know, the key message is that there are things that you can do, quite straightforward measures that you can put in place, and that most of these attacks, even if they end very complex and devastating, they can be stopped with simple preventative measures. And, you know, the key message I give to business is to act now, because it's too late after you become a victim. And, you know, we have a lot of guidance on our website. If people go to ncse.gov.ie/guidance, there's lots of guidance on cybersecurity there for businesses, for small businesses in particular, but also specific guidance on ransomware. Maybe I go through a few of the kind of highlights of things that we would advise business owners to do. One is to have backups of your most critical data. So that means that if you have your data backed up, it means that even if they encrypt it, you can use your backups to restore and get back up and running pretty quickly. But the important thing is that you have to have it. We'd advise people to store 3 copies of their data on 2 different systems, with one of those systems being offline. I mean, not connected to your current network, so the hackers can't get to it. And then you have to test regularly that you can restore from those backups. So that'll help you on the encryption side. Then in trying to stop the attackers from getting in the first place, one of the most important things that people can do is to implement multi-factor authentication. So that's basically, you know, you may have it already on some of your accounts where when you want to log in, you have to put in a code from your phone. So, you know, as well as your password, you have a second factor, and that factor usually is your phone. And, you know, you can talk to your vendors, whether that's Microsoft or email or so on, to get that set up. And we'd advise that all remote access, so if you're accessing over the internet, should have multi-factor authentication in place. You also need to know what part of the business is exposed to the internet, because that's where the attackers can get in. So if you know where that is, then you can focus on protecting that, patching it, so making sure that when vulnerabilities come out, so when there's bugs in the code, that you can get that patched very quickly and make sure that the attackers can't get in. And then probably one of the most important thing is to have a plan before this happens. So you can do up a very straightforward incident response plan. You know, we again have guidance on the website on incident response plans as part of how we advise government. And you can design a plan so that when something like this happens, you know what to do and you can act, and calm heads will prevail rather than trying to decide what to do, you know, in a panic. So that would be some of the key advice to business on, you know, preventing and mitigating these attacks.
That's some really good advice. And Joseph, there could be businesses listening to us now and they might be thinking to themselves, you know, I'm in a very remote part of Kerry, or, you know, I'm a very small business, whatever it may be. And they may feel this is something I don't need to think about. Hopefully I won't be hit, or they might feel that they won't be hit. But ye are noticing that it is small and medium sized businesses. Like there's proof there, I suppose, that they're not exempt from these kind of attacks and that they are becoming more frequent.
Exactly, that's precisely why we've written to IBEX Small Firms Association, and they've, you know, got the message out to small businesses as well, because this isn't just a problem of big business. They're the ones that make the news, but every week of the year we're seeing small businesses being hit with this type of ransomware, and because a small business has limited resources, an attack like this could basically be the end of your business, because the cost of recovery may make it not worth continuing on. And, you know, that's really tragic. So that's why the key message, I suppose, is to act now, to do those simple things. Make sure you're thinking about this today, because it may be too late if the data is encrypted and you don't have any backups and you're forced to try and pay a ransom that you can't afford.
And I was just going to ask you about that. If a business is unfortunately subjected to one of these cyber attacks and they are requiring a ransom to be paid, what should a business do, or where should they turn?
So, well, we would always encourage you to report to us, because we can provide support and advice. We've a lot of experience in dealing with these, from the most serious to smaller cases. And likewise, our colleagues on Garda Síochána will be able to assist. So you can report to your local Garda station, who will then put you in touch with the Garda National Cybercrime Bureau. So, for instance, down in Kerry, nearby, there's a hub in Cork, and they'll be able to send officers out to assist. But in terms of ransoms, both ourselves and the Gardaí are quite clear. We don't encourage people to pay ransoms. And there's a number of reasons for that. One is that often the decryptors we've seen that the criminals would provide doesn't really work that well. And in some cases will actually damage your data. So it would mean that it's impossible to recover. Also, you know, part of the paying of the ransom is to prevent the data being leaked online. But often these people, they're trying to make money in any way they can. So they may say they won't leak your data, but they may well sell your data on the dark web. And also then, of course, paying encourages these criminals to attack not just others, but also you may get attacked again if word gets out that your business is willing to pay. And there's been research to show that up to 80% of businesses who have paid a ransom have been subjected to subsequent attacks. And of course, then your obligations to report this to the Data Protection Commission remain whether you pay a ransom or not. And then finally, I suppose, you know, morally paying criminals for this type of extortion, you know, is quite questionable. So based on all those reasons, we would never advise somebody to pay a ransom. With all of that said, we do understand that it is a business decision at the end of the day. So if you don't have backups and you're facing into that, it may be the only choice you have to continue on.
And Joseph, just before I let you go, I suppose, you know, a business, especially a small business, I suppose, sitting at home listening to this now, they might be quite fearful. And, you know, it's quite stressful to think that this could happen to my business, for example. But I suppose it all comes back to the point that you made earlier, just about planning ahead and, I suppose, getting in front of it so that, you know, you're in a position that if this does happen, this you're prepared for it at the very least anyway.
That's exactly it. That's really the message, is that while you can be quite fearful of this, and you know, most of us would have seen the devastating impact that the ransomware attack on the HSE had, really, if you look at some of our guidance and try and understand how ransomware works and how these guys get in, it can be quite straightforward to take the measures now to kind of prevent that. And you know, that will give businesses some assurance if they can say, okay, well, I'm doing all of those things that the NCSE is recommending. Then that means you're much, much less likely to be subject to one of these attacks. So I would say don't take the attitude that, well, there's nothing I can do. Cyber attacks are impossible to defend against. That's not true at all. Cyber attacks, you know, a really motivated attacker will always get in, but what these guys are going for is the low-hanging fruit. So don't be that low-hanging fruit. Put in those basic measures and then your business will be a lot better place to basically not be subject to one of these attacks.
And can you just remind us again where you have all those useful tips where people can access them?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is ncse.gov.ie/guidance. And in there we have guidance is the 12 steps to cybersecurity for small businesses. We have more detailed guidance then that would be more aimed at government and critical infrastructure, but again, really, really valuable stuff in there. Then we've guides on ransomware, on phishing and so on. So there's a whole plethora of stuff there that people will be able to read and understand how these attacks work and how to prevent them.
That's great. Joseph, thank you very much for taking the time to join me on the show and just for giving us those useful tips. It's been very informative.
No problem at all. Thanks very much for having me, Amber.
We must take another quick break now, but do stay tuned. Up next, we'll be hearing about a business that aims to support other businesses.
From the world markets to local entrepreneurs, In Business on Radio Kerry has you covered every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m.
You're listening to In Business with me, Amber Galway. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can email inbusiness@radiokerry.ie, tweet the show, we're at InBusinessRK. You can send us a message on the Radio Kerry Facebook page, or you can also message us on 083 300 3300. Now, it's always good to hear about supports and the different ways businesses can get support, particularly after such a difficult time. One such business that's sole purpose is to support other businesses is Growforth. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by Operations Director at Growforth, Paul Murphy. Paul, you're very welcome to In Business.
Thank you very much, Amber. It's great to be here. Delighted with the opportunity to speak with you today. Thank you very much.
So I suppose tell us a small bit about the business first, Growforth.
Certainly. Growforth, we're proud it's an Irish company, Amber. It was set up 14 years ago. The founder and the CEO, a lady called Sarah Daly, I'm delighted to add that she's originally from Kerry herself. Growforth, it's a virtual outsourced finance department, Amber, that is involved in working very closely with SMEs and businesses, many different types of businesses. And what we do essentially is we provide high quality back office support. We give them financial support. We work with payroll. Payroll support is a big part of our business. And customization is probably the key word here, Amber. And what I mean by that is we work with businesses. Most businesses have the right people. The systems are good. And what we do is we fill the gap. We basically put that together. We help businesses identify areas that maybe they could do things a bit better, that they can be more efficient. And we work very closely with those businesses. And focus on results would be a key objective as we work very closely with those businesses, Amber.
So from what I'm hearing, the aim really of the business is to provide support to other businesses, which is lovely to hear, because I know it's a daunting time for businesses, maybe if they're starting up or even just after the last 2 years, it's been so difficult. So it's great to know that there is another business out there who looks to support you.
Certainly, Amber. And again, we work very closely with the business owners. We work, you know, as many of the accounts I'm working hands-on, I work very closely with the employees, and there's a lot of experience in the business. There's, you know, Sarah, as I said, is an accountant. I'm an accountant, and we've a highly experienced team of bookkeepers and payroll administrators and general account staff. So it's our objective that we can lend that experience, give that support. And, you know, there are, as you said, there are many challenges. And as you rightly discussed last week on the program, since COVID and since the withdrawal of many of the supports that the government have given, and generously, let me add, over that period, there are many challenges, you know, cash flow challenges, the warehousing and the debts. So we, as I said, we identify those challenges and we work closely, and most importantly, we listen to the customers, we listen to the business owners. And, you know, with any support, it's not just about the numbers, it's about all the challenges that that business and those businesses are encountering, Amber. And we work very closely and we put very good solutions in place with those businesses gladly, and we're delighted to be able to do that going forward.
And Paul, is it businesses of all sizes that you support, or is it more SMEs?
It's probably a bit of both, but as you can see in the name, GoForth is basically, you know, it speaks for itself, in that we like to work with companies that are growing and they're starting up and they've got a lot of potential, because, you know, we can work hand in hand with those companies and we can bring them to the next level. So I suppose our mantra really is, if that company wants to grow as you go forward with your business, then we'd like to be partnering with that business and we'd like to give our support and our experience. But again, as I said, it's all about customization. It's all about the various types of businesses, and you do want to be able to give them all types of support. So we do, you know, we do look at all types of businesses, but our mantra really would be businesses that are accelerating and are in a startup and are in a growth phase, Amber.
And you mentioned, I suppose, my conversation that I had last week with David and Louise, just in relation to the challenges that are facing businesses now that the COVID-19 supports are ending. Is that something that you're noticing, or is it a concern that businesses are bringing to you?
It certainly is, because as you rightly outlined and as the lads last week outlined very clearly, those businesses are immediately having, unfortunately, would have a direct impact on the cash flow of businesses, because, you know, all along the government supports, you know, that support, that injection was greatly enabling businesses to survive during such difficult times. And we are seeing that and we'll continue to see that. But I think I remember David saying last week, and I echo his sentiments, Amber, on the programme, that it really is, if the business has the right structures, has the right systems, and with our support, we are very confident, as David had indicated, that you can work your way out of these. You know, the revenue are, they are approachable, they are open, they have the debt warehousing scheme. So there is means. And again, as Julie rightly outlined last week, also credit control and credit effective is the word I'd be using, effective credit control will also greatly assist these businesses. And that's another area, I suppose, I should add, Amber, at least I forget, that credit control management is another area that I'm now bringing on to the business of GrowForth, because it's another important area, it's another important challenge, and it's an everyday challenge that these businesses are encountering. So, you know, it makes perfect sense to work very closely with these companies and also help them with credit control management.
It certainly does. And I suppose there are many areas now, really, you know, we're out of the pandemic, we'll say, you know, but the effects of it are still here. But then you have to deal, I suppose, with the rising cost of living now at the moment, and that's hitting businesses themselves, but also business owners as well. You know, when they're at home, they also have to deal with the rising costs. So there's a lot of kind of reasons for businesses to be struggling at the moment. But what kind of advice would you have for them?
Again, you're touching on such topical areas. The rising cost is affecting everything, you know, from the day they open the gates and from the time that they're, from the time that they're putting the fuel, that we all know about the fuel. It's really to be proactive. And I suppose my word of I suppose, encouragement for business owners particularly would be to become even more proactive with their figures, become more attractive, you know their businesses, know their customers, and basically streamline. You've got to streamline, and you've got to look at every cost. All the sums of money add up, Amber, as you rightly know yourself. So businesses need to be proactive. They need to be looking at alternatives. They need to, you know, they need to look at all options. And really, you know, we can help again and work closely with your accountants, work closely with your with all partners. And there's lots of support there as well with the government and different schemes still. And there's probably never been a better, more appropriate time, I suppose, for the business owners to be really be aware of all those challenges that are out there, Amber, and not to be taking your eye off the ball and to be kind of looking forward all the time. You know, there is business out there, Ireland, despite the fact, I suppose, we might have a difficult 12 months coming down the track next year. Ireland is in a good place as well, and I think businesses can continue to be successful. So really continue to take support and take advice.
That's very good advice, Paul. And I suppose it ties in with my next question. You know, if a business owner is listening right now and they are worried, I suppose, about the future or even, you know, just the day-to-day running of the business, really just given everything that's happening, and they have a couple of issues, but they just don't really know how to tackle them, I presume your advice would be to reach out and to contact the likes of yourselves or their own accountant or just someone with the expertise that can help them, because that help is there. It's just to avail of it.
Yes, 100%. And we're always there, and I'm sure all the accountancy practices, they're there at all times as well, Amber. And yes, the business owner should reach out, because it always helps to sit down with somebody that has the experience, that, you know, that has proven track record, and the person at the end of the day that's going to, they don't necessarily need to assess all the financial accounts, but sometimes a very short conversation or a very short bit of brainstorming with somebody like ourselves that has the experience, and you know that we can help with cash flow and the accounting systems and credit control and all those areas that we've just mentioned. Reach out, talk to these people, and take their advice. People can get reassured from businesses, particularly ourselves. You know, we're committed to providing that service. It's a professional service. It's a confidential and obviously a secure service for all these business owners as well, Amber.
And in a time of worry, Paul, no question really is silly or shouldn't be asked. I suppose if there's any concern at all, no matter how big or small you think it is yourself, there's no harm in asking and reaching out for help.
No, Amber. In business, you know, my mantra, there's no such thing as a small question, or as some people say, a silly question, because as we said, the businesses are encountering continuous challenges. You know, we seem to go from one thing to another. We no sooner come out of COVID and we're now looking at inflation and interest rates. And that's my point about the business owners being proactive. But some of these services as well, they don't always have to be very costly. You know, at the end of the day, you can spend some time with a business like ours, and it actually will save you money. It does save money in the short term, and it does take away those concerns that you've highlighted, Amber. Those serious concerns that a business owner has through the times that we're now encountering. Stay on top of the business, be proactive, and as you rightly indicate, it's certainly reach out to somebody like ourselves, because we can certainly help you in a lot of those areas and can put a lot of solutions in place, Amber.
And Paul, just before I let you go, you mentioned there inflation and the interest rates and everything like that and the other challenges that we spoke about earlier as well. How do you feel the future looks for businesses? Is it positive, or are we heading into just a very uncertain time?
I believe it's positive. I genuinely do believe that. And we're lucky down this way, I think, Amber. I think Kerry, Cork in particular, is in a very good place. I personally have never seen in the Cork area and maybe other areas a lot of cranes. So there is a lot going on. I think it would be very naive of us, again, to maybe not consider that, you know, a lot of the economists and a lot of the points you've just made are indicating that we could be in for some difficult times. So again, it's about just, I suppose, tightening up and, you know, looking to the future and making sure the basics, you know, that, you know, you're watching the business trends, you're watching the patterns, you're watching your debtors, you're keeping a close lid on all your costs, and be sensible at all times, and just be mindful that there could be some more challenges there. We just need to be proactive there, I think.
That's great, Paul. Thank you for taking the time to join me on the show this evening. It's been very informative, and I enjoyed talking to you.
I appreciate it, Amber, and thank you very much for the opportunity, and continue all your good work, Amber. Thank you so much.
We must take another quick break now, but do stay tuned to us here on Radio Kerry.
If you're in business, you need to be kept informed. In Business on Radio Kerry, every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m.
You're very welcome back to the final part of In Business this evening. As always, I'd love for you to get in touch. You can email inbusiness@radiokerry.ie. You can send us a message on 083 300 3300. You can tweet the show. We're at InBusinessRK, or you can send us a message on the Radio Kerry Facebook page. So lots of ways to get in touch as usual. Social enterprises play a very important role in society, and two such groups were recognised recently for their efforts. CASI, the Killarney Immigrant Support Centre, and the New Wave Wild Project, which is located in Tralee, were recognised through Rethink Ireland Social Enterprise Funds. To hear more about this, I'm joined by Rethink Ireland Social Enterprise Development Manager, Margaret Leahy. Margaret, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Amber.
So, Margaret, I suppose not everyone might be familiar with the concept of a social enterprise. So can you just explain to us what exactly they are and what they do?
Yes, social enterprises are enterprises, obviously. They're businesses. And what they do is they do good. They do a social good. And this can be in a few different ways. It might be who they work with, who they it's what they invest their money in. So, for example, you might have a social enterprise that is providing employment for people with disabilities. It may be a cafe, and the profits from that cafe also go to support other people with disabilities, maybe to get further training or different types of employment. So social enterprises are literally in every community in Ireland. Some of them do Meals on Wheels. Some are really national ones like GIY, Sensational Kids, Food Cloud. So they're all different sizes, and what they're doing is they're doing really, really good in our communities. But because they run as businesses, they have traded income. So they're not charities that rely on grant to grant to grant. They have a traded income. So they're selling goods or services, which is what makes them sustainable.
That's fantastic. You touched on it there, but they do really play a very important role in our society, as they are doing so much good, really, don't they?
Unbelievable. And I think that's one of the things about social enterprises. And we here in Rethink Ireland, another organisation, got funding recently under the Arise project, which is funded by the Department of Rural and Community Development under dormant accounts. And it was to raise the profile of social enterprises. Because I honestly think people don't realise the social enterprises that are in their own area. And that if they did, maybe they could support them. So, for example, in Roscommon, we have Trias Press. If you wanted to get printing done, why not go to a social enterprise to have it done rather than maybe somebody else? So I really think if people knew the social enterprises in their areas, they maybe would spend their money there and support the organisation to do the social good that they're trying to do.
That's a very good point. And Margaret, I know that Rethink Ireland then has a social enterprise fund. Can you tell us a small bit about that, and I suppose why it was set up in the first place?
Yes, so we have two main funds. We have the SED fund, as we call it, the Social Enterprise Development Fund, and then for the last 2 years we've had the Startup Fund. So just to give them both separately, the Startup Fund is kind of what it says on the tin. It's for startup social enterprises, and it is a fund where the awardees receive 10,000 in cash, and then they get, really importantly, non-financial support to help them, you know, maybe develop their strategic plan or maybe a marketing plan. And that is funded by the Department of Rural and Community Development. Then we have the SED Fund. So the Social Enterprise Development Fund is the next step. It's for established social enterprises that want to grow and scale, whether they want to grow and scale locally or nationally or regionally, or maybe they want to look at a different aspect of their social enterprise that they want to develop. And that would have, you know, less awardees because it's a bigger award, but it's been really successful. I mean, I mentioned some of the national ones earlier. They would have been SED awards in the past, so it really just shows you how they help. And also, as part of our social enterprise offering, we're currently running a Start Your Own Social Enterprise Business course. And this is the first time we've done this, and it's held over 6 Wednesdays. We've already had one earlier this year. The second one is going to start the end of September. And for that one, it's currently open for applications. You can go onto our website, Rethink Ireland, and apply if you have any idea. If you think, you know what, I might start a social enterprise, or I'm thinking of doing this, or maybe you're part of a big national organization that is currently completely reliant on grant aid, and you're thinking, maybe we could start a social enterprise within this organization. Or maybe you're a small organization who probably are operating as a social enterprise, but you're not really sure. So if you're any of those categories of people, you can apply to come on the course. And on that course, it covers everything from finances to legal form. And it really can be a really good way of getting set up so that in the future, maybe you could apply for some of the grant aid on the other funds.
That's fantastic. People often have a really good idea, but they might not know where to start or where to go, or even if they are a social enterprise, we'll say, for example, people just might not be aware. So having kind of this kind of a course and that kind of support is invaluable.
Completely. And I think that's one of the things that we in Rethink Ireland are really passionate about. We are really passionate about the role of social enterprises in our societies. In fact, our CEO, Deirdre Martell, has an aim that 20% of all SMEs in Ireland will be social enterprises, which I think is fantastic. And that's one of the reasons why we started the business course, because we wanted to support people with the idea at the startup level and then when they want to scale. So it's trying to support people at every stage of the social enterprise timeline almost. And when we ran the Start Your Own Business course earlier this year, we had 50 participants. We capped it at 50. We had over 70 apply within the first 2 weeks of opening up applications. So there's huge interest in this. And the ideas on that were so diverse. I mean, we had everything from a dating app for people with disabilities to reusable containers for takeaway premises to very innovative TY programs to include people who maybe from the travelling community or maybe migrants in the TY program. We had gardening projects. We had cafes. It was phenomenal. I mean, it was just fantastic. And for us here in Rethink Ireland, it was really exciting to hear these new ideas coming forward, because these are the social enterprises of the future.
I can imagine. It sounds like there were some really great ideas there. Just returning back to the funds for a moment, that kind of ties in, I suppose, with the whole support aspect as well. You know, you're seeing good work being done, and that's where the funds come in, and I suppose how the recipients are chosen.
Yes, so we put a lot of work into choosing the recipients. I mean, it's a very robust process because we want to support innovative ideas. Rethink Ireland is all about backing innovative ideas. So we put a lot of effort into trying to get, you know, obviously that's people to apply, because the more people that apply, the more innovative ideas we see. And then, you know, it's quite a robust process. And at the end of it, we come up with what I think are fantastic social enterprises. So this year, for example, in the startup fund, we had 20 awardees, which were just announced last week. And we had 8 in the said fund. And they are just, we had an announcement last week in Airfield Estate for them in a photo shoot. And listen to their stories, Amber. You would be so inspired to think, this is wonderful. This is the Ireland I want to live in. They are so passionate about what they do. And the range is fantastic. And of course, as you know, we had 2 very, very good Kerry projects join us last week.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly did, which was great to see. So they were CASI, the Killarney Immigrant Support Centre, and the New Wave Wild Project, which is based in here in Tralee. Can you tell us, I suppose, why these were picked, Margaret?
Yes, so CASI, actually, this is the second time they've gotten an award for us, and that's one of the things about Rethink Ireland. You can apply for different funds. And this time, we are funding them for a community garden. Now, you know, people might say, well, sure, community garden. But we love the way that CASI uses a community garden as a space for inclusion. So yes, it's a community garden, it's a growing space, it's really good for the environment because they try and do a lot of their work within the centre, you know, circular economy, they have refill, etc. So that ties in with the environmental aspect of it. But it's the inclusion aspect that we thought was really important and innovative, because very often in our societies, different people within that society are, I won't say segregated, but, you know, they're separated, let's say. So inclusion is really, really important. So the community garden that they are developing there in Killarney has inclusion from the point of view of immigrants and people from the area and different ages. So it's an intergenerational project as well. So we really, really like that. With New Wave, New Wave is on the startup fund, and we love the way that they are using our green and our blue spaces to support young people with mental health issues. And they're doing it at a very professional level. You know, there are others who are, you know, trying to work with nature to support people. But it was the level of professionalism and certification of New Wave that really we were quite, you know, blown away by. And their approach to therapy is just, they're using the natural resources that we have all around us, the water, the hills, the walk. They're using them to really have a person-centered approach to helping them with mental health issues. And we just think they're going to have a hugely beneficial impact on youth mental health.
They certainly will. They're both very worthy recipients of the funds, and it's great to hear that about the great work that they're doing here in Kerry. We mentioned earlier, Margaret, that social enterprises obviously are the fabric of our community, and they play such an important role in developing solutions, I suppose, to the bigger challenges that we are facing every single day. But if anyone is considering maybe setting up a social enterprise, but they're not really sure how to go about it, what kind of advice would you have for them?
Well, the first thing I would say is apply for our social enterprise core business course. We also have some really good resources on our website on Rethink Ireland. Your local development company would also be able to support you. And I think that, you know, between your local development company and Rethink Ireland and looking at different resources within your own county, you can get some ideas. I would also suggest looking at other social enterprises. So if you're in Kerry, look at the website. See how New Wave works. See how CASI works. See how other social enterprises are set up. And, you know, maybe talk to them. But certainly, as I say, our Start a Social Enterprise business course, it's starting 28th of September, so there's still time to apply. That might really help you. And also, as I say, your local development company, they most of them have a social enterprise development officer who can support you, get your idea, at least talk you through your idea and see if there's any merit to it.
That's excellent. Margaret, it's been lovely talking to you, and thank you for taking the time to join me on this evening show.
Thank you very much, Amber. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And that brings us to the end of this evening's show. As always, thank you very much for joining me, Amber Galway, for the last hour. A very special thank you to my guests who joined me this evening, CEO of the RDI Hub, Liam Cronin, Joseph Stevens, who's Head of Engagement for the National Cybersecurity Centre, Operations Director with Growforth, Paul Murphy, and Rethink Ireland Social Enterprise Development Manager, Margaret Leahy. This show will be podcast in the coming days, and as always, you can listen back by visiting radiokerry.ie, clicking on the podcast section, and then just click on In Business. Stay tuned to us here on Radio Kerry. Mark Lynch is up next with AgriTime. That's all from me. Have a lovely evening.